Welcome once again to another episode of The Wall Behind and Beyond. I'm your host, Philip A. Jones. Today we have a guest who specializes in creating viable solutions for human services organizations, as well as social services and outreach support. Through her organization, Sacramento Area Reentry Collaborative, she brings her knowledge, skills, and perspectives to the forefront of her work. She provides a think tank of networks where attendees have the opportunity to engage with others and advocate on behalf of returning citizens. Please welcome to the show, Ms. Crystal Sheffield. How are you today, sister?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's my honor to be here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been wanting to talk to you and ask you some things about what y'all are doing over in SAC, because I love the initiative and all of the work that you guys been doing. So we're going to get it started. And I'll ask you first, you know, can you tell us a little bit about your organization, Sacramento Area Reentry Collaborative?
Absolutely. So it is just a wonderful organization, group of people who I have to say we've kind of become a family, although there are like hundreds of us who are part of it now. So I started the Reentry Collaborative 7 years ago, and I was looking at some paperwork the other day, and I realized that it was May 31st, 2017, so it's been almost 7 years. And it is, I'm just going to read you what exactly who we are, what our mission is. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. So our mission is to connect and empower reentry advocates and providers through networking, education, sharing resources. And we have this kind of two different things that we do. We have an online network that I absolutely love. And it is just a way for us to connect throughout each month. A lot of the members will go there and post events and job announcements or post questions about issues that they're running into, issues that their clients are facing. So we have our online network, and then we also have an in-person meeting once a month. And at those meetings, we just really have the opportunity to get together, more networking, of course. I like to say that we lift one another up because, once a month I get to be around people who get it and people who are doing the work just like I am. And so we usually have one or two organizations who will provide education or, on any given topic, or they'll present to us what their organization is all about, what they're up to, what they're doing. So, for example, at our last meeting, two Fridays ago, we had an organization who provides substance use addiction treatment. And the gentleman who presented to us just spoke about what his organization does, how they can help people who are part of this population that we serve. And we had another, a young lady who has an organization where she actually trains people who have been involved in the system. She trains them to become counselors and drug addiction counselors. And it's pretty fascinating. So each meeting will either have one or two presenters. Sometimes we'll decide that we want to have a training for the entire time, maybe focused on restorative justice or focus on ACEs, trauma. We have a wonderful woman who has been instrumental in the tiered registry system for 290 registrants. So she'll come and talk to us about legislation and what's happening at the Capitol and other things such as substance use disorder treatment, mental health treatment. So we have lots of different providers who will come. We have such a wealth of resources, people who are part of SARC who have so much to offer. There really is never enough time for us to collaborate, but it's just a great way to spend a couple of hours each month kind of being rejuvenated, lifted. As you know, this work is, it can be really difficult and challenging. And so when we get together, we just spend a lot of time lifting one another up, and encouraging one another and just really sharing what we have, sharing our resources, sharing our time, sharing our energy. And it's a really cool place to be once a month. We have some couple of really great organizations who just give us the space to use. Sierra Health Foundation is one organization. We meet there several times a year. But the other really great thing about SARC is that we have our members have us at their work locations, and they will host us, provide food, provide snacks, and just give us a couple of hours to meet and just connect with one another.
Well, thank you. That was a lot of great information for anybody who was curious about what talk is all about. As I listened to you, the thing that popped in my mind the most was that the saying, it takes a village, because it seems as if, you have so many different people collaborating and coming together with you all to make this a reality, this vision come to a reality and really serve the purpose that you guys have. So I think that that's
Absolutely.
excellent.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What was the catalyst for you to create Sark, or was Sark already in existence? What was the catalyst of it all? How did it all come about?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really great question. I was thinking about this earlier, and I'll be honest with you, Mr. Jones, it started out of frustration for me. So prior to me coming to do the work that I'm doing now, the organization I work for, I'm a forensic social worker. So I work with people who are involved in the criminal legal system. And prior to coming to this job, I was working in the community. I was working with people who are unhoused. And years ago, I'm a big dreamer. So years ago, I thought, well, I'm just going to get people together. We're going to work with people together. We're going to, help solve some of the issues that are out here. And I found that there are a lot of people who like the idea of working together and collaborating. When it came to actually doing it, there were some issues that came up. And I think some of those issues stemmed from grant funding. I found that a lot of people didn't want to share their resources. Even some coworkers of mine who say, I'm not going to tell you who my housing providers are. I'm not going to give you that information because I need them for my clients. And I thought that, it for me, it didn't make sense that really, although we have a big Sacramento community, we're all really serving the same people. And so when I started my years later, I started my new job as a social worker, and I immediately realized that there was no funding. There's no money, at least in my organization, to provide resources. And the resources that are out there, it's really hard to access them and figure out what to do, where to go. Our clients will come out of custody, and they had to go all around the city just to get resources. So started reaching out to people that I knew. I would go to meetings. I would go to community meetings. I would connect with friends that I knew or colleagues and ask, would you all be interested in some type of reentry network or reentry collaborative? And everyone I spoke with said, yes, absolutely. We need that. We need to talk more. We need to spend more time together. We need to uplift one another. And so I did a little more research. I talked to a former boss of mine and some other people. And I found out that there was a reentry coalition in Sacramento that existed. I believe it ended around 2014, so about a year before I started my new job. And I did some double checking to see if something was already in existence, and I found out that there was really nothing. There was no networking group that was going at the time. So it took me a while because I was a little nervous about starting something that I didn't have a full picture of, and I just thought, let's just start meeting and just see where it goes. And so we assembled at actually at the federal courthouse, and I pulled people together, and we sat in a room, and there were probably about 50 or 60 people in the room that day, and we just identified, what we need from one another, what's lacking, what's missing in our reentry community. And out of that meeting, we just came up with just really a list of things that we were hoping to do and hoping to accomplish. So here we are 7 years later, and the biggest I think the biggest thing that we provide to one another is, like I mentioned, support and uplift. But I think essentially the main things that were missing that I identified at that time, and even today, as I think about it, the things that are missing sometimes are very little to no funding for clients, depending on your charges, depending on what your needs are. Sometimes really have we have to scramble to find the funding and to find resources. And then the resources that exist, sometimes there are barriers. Maybe they don't accept people, for example, someone who might be a 290 registrant, or maybe they can't accept someone who has a certain type of charge on their record. And so my thought is, let's try to do away with that and just provide support. And if we all come together, I think between, I think now we're at over 800 members currently, between all of us and all of our agencies working together, we can kind of figure out how we can resolve some of these issues.
For sure. I love that. It sounds like grassroots community organization at its finest. And not only that, you have to get over certain hurdles, to try to, accommodate for things that are not necessarily available as a resource. So I really love what y'all doing. And, it's not surprising to me, that where you're at, this was something that you guys decided needed to be done, because this is where it all begins. This is where it all happens in the first place. All of the being out there in the trenches and trying to make changes when you don't have the resources available from these local officials. So you say, well, let's do it ourselves, you know what I'm saying? So we really do appreciate that, you know.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's how I'm kind of built. I love working with people and collaborating, but I used to be a person who would sit around and say, man, it's a shame that that's happening. It's a shame that that's not a reality. It's so sad that we don't have enough resources. And I thought, why aren't we need to come together and do it ourselves. And so that's kind of where I am now.
Absolutely. It's called people power.
Exactly.
I understand that you worked as a forensic social worker for several years and still do to this day. How did this work inform your move to become a SOC networker and bringing other people together for that purpose?
Sure, absolutely. I thought that I would be sort of a case manager, social worker for a long time. And I think when you start to work in any type of social services helping profession, as you start to identify gaps and places where things can be improved, you kind of have a natural tendency to either shake your head and say, oh my gosh, that's so sad. I'm just going to keep doing this because it's comfortable, it's safe, it's what works. Or you'll pull away and say, I need to do something to kind of build upon that. So the way I describe it is that although our clients are just so dear to me, I absolutely love my clients, I realize that the more I'm kind of down here putting out the fires, I'm not able to help stop the fires from starting in the first place, or just not able to maybe, I don't know, put something in the way so that the fires are not just, so constant and so big. Our clients are the smartest, most wonderful people that I've ever met. They've taught me so much, and it's really my clients over the last like 8.5 years and beyond when I was working with the unhoused population on the streets. My clients have always taught me everything that I need to know about how to really help them. And so as I talk with them and I listen to their frustrations and I listen to their real needs, and I used to think, I have it figured out. You just need this, you need ABC, we're going to work on that, then we'll move to the next thing. And my clients taught me to slow down. That's not what I really want, Crystal. This is what I really want. And even if it sounded unreasonable to me, I had to realize that I can't fix their lives. We're going to do it together. We're going to work together to help them to be successful. And they've also helped me to become more successful and to learn and to grow. They've helped me to create things that I didn't think I could create. And so really for me, it has been, really doing my best, working hard and not, not being lazy in my work, but really going the extra mile, even when I did not feel like it, but doing everything I could to learn and grow and to help fill a need in my office and in the court system. But then at a certain point, you realize you can only do so much. And what I'd love to do now is to really focus more of my energy and time on SARC, on the reentry community at large, and maybe build some support programs for students, interns, as they finish their, final year of internship and they go into the professional world. We need to do so much to prevent burnout or to help them to make career changes when it's time. Provide them with mentors who can help support them so that as they go into the field, they don't become jaded. They don't, again, they won't have burnout as quickly. So as you can see, my heart is for the clients we serve, but I really believe the best way we can serve the clients, the people who are just as involved, is if we're healthy, if we're well, if we're taking care of ourselves. And if we're supporting one another, that's how we will be able to really fill the gaps and really fill the needs that our clients have.
Exactly, and that's powerful at what you said, because I often tell people the justice impacted people, they know what they need, and a lot
Absolutely.
of times when they come out, all of the people who are in the work of reentry seem to try to tell them, here's a list of things that I have for you. Well,
Yeah.
the individual knows what his needs are.
Exactly.
He's not challenged in the way that he can't figure out what he needs.
Exactly.
He just wants you to provide the resources, and he should work
Absolutely.
with them and ask him what would be the best fit for you and give him a couple of alternatives. So that's what I always say. But
I
I'm
agree.
glad to hear that you feel the same way. You know what I mean?
I do. I had to learn the hard way, and for years, probably the first couple years on the streets, and then the first couple years as a forensic social worker, my clients taught me, because I would work hard for months on a project or a plan, and then they would say, "Crystal, I don't really want that," and it broke my heart. But I had to learn that I'm working with them. I'm not working for them or forcing them to do things that they don't want to do. So you're absolutely right. People know what they want and what they need.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. What types of services do you provide to the reentry community in your area?
Sure. So one thing that I've done with SARC is kept it pretty basic for about close to 7 years now. And we have, I always say, the heart of the Reentry Collaborative is the networking, the community that we build. And I can genuinely say that we have so much love and support for one another. The organizations, the people that I've come to know over the years, we are really close. And I consider so many of them my friends. There are so many things happening behind the scenes, Mr. Jones, that I'm not even aware of. I will hear about things later where providers will say, "Oh, by the way, I've been working with this agency and this agency, and we're about to have this event, or we're working on a grant together." And my thing has been, I don't always know about those things, and I don't have to be aware of all of that, because what's happening is we are absolutely fulfilling the goal, and that goal is for people to connect. And so we have future goals. Right now, we're connecting, but in the next year, we have some really exciting things coming, which you'll hear about later on.
And that is what matters. And I'll pick it up with you on the other side.
Absolutely.
Hey, listeners, you are one of the keys to the success of what I do here at The Wall Behind and Beyond. Please take a minute to share the episodes you like and subscribe for more content. I could not do what I do without you. If you like what you see on our podcast, please check out some of my projects at Philip A. Jones Consulting. You can also visit my business page at www.phaconsultingllc.com and my merch page at www.behindthewall.org, where you can read more about what I do and purchase artwork made by justice-impacted men and women. Thank you for subscribing. Back on the other side with Miss Crystal Sheffield, and I want to ask her an important question, because we always overlook the important work that needs to be done for clients and people that's returning citizens. And so the listeners will want to know, what is the most important part about the work that you do?
Oh, wow. That is a really good question. It's going to be maybe a little strange to some people, and I sort of started talking about it a moment ago. I think the most important part, or at least one of the really most important parts for me is, and it's really based on my experience, it's really uplifting the people, whether they are a social worker, a caseworker, an organization, a business person, who is interested in helping people who are just as above. For me, it's really uplifting the helpers and the people who are coming alongside the people who've been just as involved, if that makes sense. The reason I believe that's really important is I've experienced myself, and I have so many colleagues who've experienced burnout, and they become jaded where they just don't have the heart and compassion anymore. And I've seen people literally quit and say, I can't do this anymore. Or maybe they become really suspicious, or they have a couple of bad experiences, whether it's at work or with their clients, and they just decide it's not worth it. And although I have had my moments of burnout, I've known people who have had even more significant challenges. My goal and what I think is really important is to really provide the support that people need who are actually working in this system, because as you know, it's not always pretty, and it can be really challenging and difficult. We don't always get the results that we want if we're helping someone who is on their way into custody. And it can be very daunting. And I believe uplifting and supporting and providing the resources to the people who are actually doing the work, who have the heart for it, I believe that's so important. I believe if we're well-equipped and we're healthy mentally and emotionally, I believe, and even physically, we can really pour into this work and do it well. And I don't know if I mentioned that part of, we also have some advocates who are part of SART, people who have been just as involved, who've started their own nonprofits, they've started their own organizations. They are part of us, and they help inform me and inform us on what those needs are and how to equip ourselves. So I think the most important thing that we're doing is really keeping the heart at the heart, like really making sure that people know that they're supported, that they're loved, that they're cared for. And then that can flow into the work that they're doing every day with their clients.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, because that is important. Letting people know that you're not just here because it's a job. You're here because you care. You know what I'm saying? And I think that goes a long way. And we as people that's inside of the system as well as out, that goes a long way with us, because we want to know that people care about the work that they're doing, and that they're not just doing it for any other reason, like a paycheck. So I thank you for clarifying that. And also I wanted to say, most people that's justice impacted, they have trauma backgrounds. And so based on the fact that we have trauma backgrounds, that is one of the most things that I feel that needs to be addressed. Because if that's not addressed first, then they can go through all of the reentry processes that they choose. They're still going to struggle on the other side. So I thank you for talking about those things and letting it be known that that's some of your approaches. You also do consulting work with the same community, developing individuals and team efforts. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that work as well?
Sure. Absolutely. That's kind of a new venture, and it's really exciting. I'm actually in the next couple of months, I'm going to be pulling away from my full-time job, kind of crazy lady that way. But I'm pulling away from my full-time job, and I'm going on this new venture. One part will be SARC for the Reentry Collaborative. I'm going to continue to build that up. You know, like I mentioned, we have some really exciting things coming for SARC. But personally, with the consulting, my goal is to help organizations to build their own social work programs, social work internship programs, and, you know, or also to strengthen the programs they already have in place. I have a lot of colleagues who are social workers at various agencies. And one of the common things that I hear all the time is that they're overworked, they're burned out, and they feel stuck. And my hope is to be able to help organizations to find a way and find the tools that they need to be able to help their staff to have that longevity. And also to encourage their staff, you know, to, encourage promotion, but also to encourage their staff to go back to school, to educate themselves, to go to the conferences, to collaborate with other people, to get what they need like you mentioned earlier, we're not robots and we can't just constantly do work like we've been doing it, where we're getting burned out and we're not really getting all that we need. So part of my consulting will include really focusing on organizations and agencies and helping them to build exactly what they need for their helping professionals. And then on the other hand, for the social work interns, like I mentioned earlier, students who are going into this field, they're kind of walking in, not really knowing exactly what they're getting themselves into. But I believe most of us go into this field in social work in any capacity, we go into it most of the time it's because we've been through something, we've had traumatic experiences, and we just want to make sure other people don't have those same experiences. We want to help as much as we can. And other students I've worked with have seen other people go through things, or they've heard about things, and they just really have a heart to help. And so my goal is to help those students to decide and determine where they want to work, what they want to do, to make sure they know it's okay to switch it up. It's okay after you've been somewhere for a certain number of years, you can switch it up and you can do something different. I think it's so healthy for all of us. So those are some of the things that I'm doing as a consultant. I have like a long list of ideas, and I'm just going to take it slow and just slowly build upon what I've already started and hopefully make an impact in our community.
Most definitely, you're going to do that because I love the work you're doing, and everybody hears the work that you're doing, and they see that it's very effective. In my workbook that I have for reentry, it's called Exit to Excellence. The first thing we say is, reentry begins on day one. It's not after you get out. Reentry starts as soon as you step in. So that way your mentality is shaped. It's focused on your freedom. And that way you won't get caught up and entrapped while you're inside, from getting out and living your best life on the outside. So, I love talking about this subject, as you can see, but that's why I wanted you on the show. So thank you so much. What are some of the greatest challenges faced by justice impacted people who are reentering their communities? And how does your organization address some of those challenges?
Oh, that's another really great question. Over the years, I've had a chance to work with hundreds of clients who, at different ages, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds. And one of the things that I noticed that happens with our clients, well, there are two things actually that I can think of that are really challenging. One would be, a lot of times our clients come out of custody and they go so fast. They want everything to happen right now. And I totally understand it. They've explained it to me that they're like, listen, Crystal, when I'm out of custody, I want to get things done quickly. But it's hard for them to understand that in our community, things don't move that fast. Things take time. And what I've seen happen with our clients sometimes is they get overwhelmed or they get frustrated, and they either abscond, or they decide, this is too much. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before. And so that is a big challenge, because we want to make sure that they know that they have everything they need, the wherewithal to succeed. But they have to slow down a little bit and be a little patient. And I can't even begin to understand how frustrating that has to be. So that's one of the biggest challenges. The other one is that in Sacramento, we have too many resources, but we also don't have enough resources. And what I mean by that, I think I mentioned earlier, a lot of our clients and people who are justice involved, they come out of custody, and sometimes they're just not allowed or able to access some of the resources. A lot of our clients end up disqualified based on their charges, based on whatever. And I think it's great that there's such a focus on reentry right now. But sadly, some of the grant funding and some of the other funding that comes out, private funding, it has such a narrow focus. It makes it really difficult for people to really access what they need. So I don't know the solution, but I know some really smart people who have been doing this for a long time. And I love to spend time talking to agencies, organizations, even people who are outside of SARC, and just learning and understanding what does it take to make sure that when that person comes out of, like you said, before they even leave custody, working with them a year, 6 months prior, making sure that they are set up. And one of the problems is that for certain programs, housing, or even, you know, mental health services and medical services, you can't access those in a lot of cases until you are actually in that county out of custody. And it's getting better. I think now medical resources are available. You can sign up for Medi-Cal, for example, before you are, you know, released from custody. But we just have such a long way to go. Getting ID cards, making sure you have those basics before you leave custody, but also you have housing set up, you have programs, you have your mentoring set up, you have a job waiting for you, a job training. And so I think that's the biggest challenge. We have an abundance of resources, but there's still a disconnect somewhere. And so one of the areas I'm hoping to focus on, along with our volunteers and our SARC members, is really having smaller subgroups to focus on specific things. And another thing that I'm really working on is bringing resource fairs and reentry conference. We haven't had a reentry conference in the Sacramento area in years. And so I'd like SARC to be a big part of, along with a lot of other, you know, agencies, be a part of bringing our community together even more through conferences, through other collaborative efforts like resource fairs. So hopefully we will do some damage and help resolve some of these things, or at least, you know, put a dent in it so that we can see some progress in the future.
Most definitely. We'll keep our ears and eyes open for that. And I'll definitely post that when the time comes, if that happens or when it happens, we will be there to post that and share that with all of our listeners as well as our followers. How can people get a hold of you, and how can they work with you or learn more about what you do? Is there any way that they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely, yes. So I can share the information with you later with your assistant. But if they would just search for the Sacramento Area Reentry Collaborative right now, we don't have an actual website yet, but we have a domain name. We're going to go full force with it in the summer. But we do have an online platform. We're also on Facebook, and it's the same, Sacramento Area Reentry Collaborative. We are building a Sacramento Area Reentry Connect group on Facebook as well. And that will be a private group for people who are coming out of custody and they need support. And it won't necessarily be case management, but it'll be a place where they can connect with providers, with one another, as much as they're allowed to. I know there are some guidelines with when people are on supervision, but we like to have a place where people can connect and ask questions and get the resources that they need. So Facebook, Instagram, I had one of the students set us up with Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and also I'm happy to share my email address. It's crystal@sacramentoreentry.org. So it's Crystal, CRYSTAL, at sacramentoreentry.org. And people can email me there, and I'm happy to connect and just, you know, see how we can work together.
That's what I'm talking about. Love it, love it, love it. And thank you so much for coming through. We are definitely here. If there's anything that we can do to collaborate, so please keep us informed. And take care, sister, and have a great day.
Hey, Mr. Jones, bless you.
Pretty cool.
Appreciate you.